Well, good morning, everybody. I am excited to say this morning that kids are going back to school, and I just don't know why the summer went so quick. But what I'm more excited about is my oldest boy is going to first year of high school, and I just realized how old I am. When I was thinking about this the other day, time just flies so quick. For those of you who have kids, you look at your kids, you're like, whoa, am I really that old? Looking at your kids growing up and expanding and growing. But then this morning, first service, we had a baby dedication. And you have to see the kids and grandkids and everybody together. And then your kids have kids. And it's like, whoa, I'm getting old. So I had that realization back in April when I turned 38. And I thought to myself, I'm not getting any younger. I'm just getting more lazier. I'm getting more relaxed. I just don't. So I finally gave in. I joined the gym. As you can tell, there's a nice little gym behind me there. I joined the gym, and I was always saying, you know, I will join the gym. And I was joining the gym back in the day. I just never went. You know, you're part of the gym just to have a membership, but you never really go. You know, and you're like, okay, you go work out. You're so... The new year starts and you start working out and it's like, yeah, you do it for like a few weeks and it's like, I don't have time anymore for gym, you know, and then the charges just keep coming out of your credit card and you're just like, okay, so am I going to go back? And then you cancel and then the next year, then you're waiting, you're like, it's being so nice, okay, I'll wait till January again to start, you know, a new year resolution. And then almost like every new year resolution, it's like the same thing. You start the gym membership and then you cancel it and you start and you cancel. I've never been in so much pain in my life since I joined the gym in May. And I decided, you know what, because I looked at my life and I thought to myself, you know, I'm 38, I'm getting older. And I thought to myself, I hear stories when you reach 40, everything just goes downhill. So middle age starts at 35. I'm already middle-aged, so I'm going to do everything I can to get in shape physically. So I set some goals and stuff like that, but I realized that I couldn't do it on my own because I've tried in the past to go to gym by myself. And sometimes it's okay, you know, when you go to friends and stuff like that. And usually when you go with friends, it's like a waste of time because they're just talking the whole time. You're not really working out. So I decided, and this is how I thought I was going to make it successful. It was going to cost me something. I'm going to get a personal coach that's going to help me get where I want to be. So I went to the first meeting, and he did the whatever you call that initial meeting where you do the push you to your limits, you know, the very first time. So I did different things, and I was really surprised how painful it was to just do 10 push-ups. Oh, you know, and then different things that he was trying to, he was just writing stuff down, you're seeing where I was, and long story short, here I am today. It feels so good when you are, you know, around people, you go outside, and yet last week, one of the gentlemen came to me and said, Pastor David, did you lose some weight? Oh, I feel so good. Thank you. Yes, I did. I actually did. Yeah. And then the other guy, I remember back in the day, people used to tell me, are you working out? And I used to say, nah, it's just jeans, you know. But now actually people say, you've kind of gained some muscle. Are you doing something? I was like, yes, I am actually doing something. I'm dedicated. I'm doing something. And here's the thing. You will never be able to accomplish a lot of things that you want to accomplish in your life on your own. That's the one thing I've realized. And getting a fitness coach was a big change in my life. And I think like that, anything in life, if you want to achieve goals and get somewhere, if you want to set some spiritual goals, which I think all of us Christians should have, if you don't have, I encourage you to set some spiritual goals, you need someone to guide you, you need a mentor, you need someone to help you get there because you can't do it alone. We are not meant to live this life alone. And one of the things that my coach told me, he said, David, it's okay, we're going to start here. We did all the measurements, and you just have to stick through it. It was a commitment of 6 months to do it once a week with him. But what the most important thing that he told me, and I heard this before, but now it really actually makes sense. He said, to grow, we all need consistency and patience. Consistency and patience. two of the things that we lack so much as humans. If I was going to ask you right now, how much consistency and how much patience do you have in your life for whatever you're trying to accomplish in life, whatever you're after, you're probably, if you're honest with me, you probably say, not much. And here I am today, three and a half months in, and I'm some of you have seen me riding my bike to church and around, and I've been really trying to get cardio and strength training, which was kind of like meshed together to really get to where I needed to be. So today, I brought some dumbbells. Actually, I didn't bring them. Adam did. Adam this morning brought it for me. They're actually not his. They're his dad's, he told me. But Adam does look like he always lifts, right? Adam, I started really low. This is only a 10-pounder. I don't know how many of you guys have ever did any weight training in your life, but I started very low, 10, 15, 20, 30. I don't want to say where I'm at right now. It's a secret. I didn't want to bring my heavy weights from home because they're kind of clunky. But I brought this, and I actually, in this process of working out, just last or 2 weeks ago, this thing started hurting me a lot, and I've actually hurt my hand because I pushed too much. And then my coach told me, okay, let's take 3 weeks off, just no more, just different things, but no, don't do that anymore. But I'm surprised now. Let's imagine this is a heavy one. How much I can actually do now, lifting weights, and how much I can actually accomplish. I was not able to do this in the beginning of May. And now I'm here 3 months later. I'm doing stuff that I never thought I would do. And my coach said, don't worry, there's going to be more. So just keep at it. Keep being patient and consistent. So what goals do you have in your life? Do you have any? Do you have any spiritual goals? Do you know that if you set a goal that is going to cost you something to get there? People set things and goals for many, many areas of their life, but sometimes they wonder, what would happen if we all had some good spiritual goals for us, for our life? And what I've learned in life is we make choices, and choices make us. We make choices, they make us. Whatever choice we make, whatever level in life we're at, it's because of the choices that we have made yesterday. Sometimes what we try to do is we try to blame everybody else around us. We try to blame God. We try to blame people. We try to blame our bosses and our lack of time and all lack of money. And we make excuses nonstop, but we are here today because of the choices that we have made yesterday. And the question is, where do you want to be tomorrow? Where do you want to be 5 years from now? I don't know if you ever ask yourself those questions. Those are good questions to ask. But life is very predictable. It's like a book. It's so predictable because if I just watch you for a day make choices, I will know what's coming for you tomorrow. If you watch me making choices, you will know what's coming for me. And there's choices that people make in their life that will either help them or not help them. Now, there's people in this life that make simply no choices, and they just are set at the same level, and they've been there for like 10 years. Do we really want to be that kind of people? See, God is writing a story of our life, and he has so many amazing things in store for us, but he wants us to be a part of this life and to start making the right choices, to start doing things that he wants us to do. See, every experience and every pain that we have in this life is there for a reason. And we live in this world, it's all about cause and effect. Since our great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, decided to do things in their own way, they decided to disobey God, everything has been going, it's getting harder and harder. And for us as humans living in this flesh and living on this planet, we do toil. There's life gets hard at times, and we go through things, and we experience things in this life. And the Lord said to woman when they sinned, he told the woman, I will increase your pain, and when you give birth, you'll be in great pain when you have children, and you will long for your husband, and he will rule over you. And to a husband, to Adam, God said, Because what you've done, I'm putting a curse on the ground because of what you did. All the days of your life, you will have to work hard. It will be painful for you to get food from the ground. You will eat plants from the field, even though the ground produces thorns and weeds. You'll have to work hard and sweat a lot to produce the food that you will eat. You were made out of ground, and you will die and return to the same ground that you were made out of. And it seems like ever since then, there's been ups and downs, and life has been us going through trials and tests and just experiencing life in different ways. And every trial that we go through in this life is supposed to produce something. Well, what is that something? Well, today I want to talk to you about that. And when we have pain and when we suffer, when we go through pain, does God have a plan? Does God have a plan? And that really is the title of my message today. God's plan for pain. God's plan for pain. Does God have an actual plan when I'm going through a hard time in this life? Is God outside of our pain? My pain, personal pain? Or is he here with me right now? When I suffer, does he even care? Those are the questions that we ask. Does he turn a blind eye, or he's just too busy solving everybody else's problems except my own? Well, we know the Bible tells us that God is a personal God. He's not far, he's not distant, he's right there with us right now even. His Holy Spirit is always there. But sometimes we tend to forget that, especially when we go through painful times, especially when we experience trouble. So, just like working out, how can I be joyful to going to the gym, looking at my weights, and actually lifting these heavy dumbbells? How can I be joyful? Well, I can be joyful because I know if I do this, I'm going to have a result that I'm looking for, that I want to have, and I want it produced in my life. That's why I know it's hard and I have to lift and I have to do these things, but I know that I want to get somewhere and I want to be somewhere. And it's like that with us in our life. You know, decisions, like I said, that we make us. In this life, we often make wrong decisions. When we're in pain and we're suffering, going through hard times, we embrace the sinful path. We choose our own desires, our own thinking, what we think is good. And then we just end up wondering, does God even care? We have pain in our life that's caused by our own choices a lot of times, and then we also have pain in our life that's caused by just simply life in general. And as Christians, one thing that makes us different than anybody else is the faith that we have and trust that we have in God. We have to get to the level of faith that God wants us to be at. And he wants us to have faith when we are in good times and when we're in bad times. He wants us to trust him when we are experiencing pain and when everything is all right. And some of us are praying the prayers of, God, give me patience. God, use me. God, help me. God, I want to trust you more. God, help me put you first. And these prayers are good, but they're also dangerous in a way because they will get us maybe on a path that will help us grow in the things that we need to grow in. We need to grow, as believers, we need to grow in spiritual maturity. We need to reach a level. We can't just be having the same faith the first time we became Christian and year one, and now 10 years later have the same faith like we had when we were one-year-old Christians. Our faith should always grow and always expand. So we are, you are personally responsible for your own growth and for your own faith walk. I know sometimes we try to blame other people and blame the pastors and blame the leaders and it's their fault. And you are the one that's responsible for your own fate. I can't be responsible for your own fate. You're responsible for your own growth. The church, the way we've set up the church, whether it's classes, whether it's life groups, whether it's teachings, whether it's Sunday morning gathering, whether it's fellowships, everything that we do, we are to help people grow. But only you can decide whether you want to grow or you want to stay where you're at. Apostle Paul has a term. He talks about baby Christians. When I was a baby, I was drinking milk. When I'm matured now and I have mature food. So in that all to say, we can't, as baby Christians, do we want to stay here? We had a baby dedication this morning. That baby is going to grow up. It's going to learn new things. It's going to expand. It's going to mature. Just like natural things have been set in motion by God to grow and mature and expand. That's exactly what God wants for you and me spiritually as well. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And he doesn't want us to be stuck at a certain grade. Imagine going through grade one over and over and over and over. And then you get to grade three and you're like over and over and repetitive. I had a friend that repeated like grade 11 three times. It's our choice to grow. And the way school system is designed, you know, they're giving tests to grade nines. They're not taking grade nines tests and giving it to first graders. Not going to be able to go to pass them. There's levels of growth that we all experience at certain levels. So we have, as Christians in this life, we have a lot to learn. We have a lot to grow in, especially when it comes to our faith and our faith in trusting God. So in order for our faith to grow, the only way that it's going to grow is it needs to be exercised. And how does our faith grow and how does our faith get exercised? And I'm going to read the scripture in James 1:2-4. It really spoke to me. It tells us exactly how our faith grows and what the actual goal, end goal is for us as Christians. Because sometimes the greatest pains become the greatest strengths. The greatest pains become the greatest strengths that we have. What used to be painful in the beginning, right now, has become a really strong part of your life because you've been through it and you've done it. James 1:2-4 says this, "Consider it all pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, when troubles of any kind come your way, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Again, God wants us to be mature. He wants us to be complete, not lacking anything. But how do we get there? Well, the way we get there is through many kinds of trials and troubles. The definition of a trial is as a test of performance, of qualities, of suitability, of someone or something. That's what the definition of trial is. So many people that I talk to are in some sort of test, in some sort of trial, facing something. Maybe it's pain, like we prayed about this morning, trial, difficulty that we're facing. And the question always comes to mind when people face trial and they're in something, the question always comes to mind, and the question is, why me? Why do I have to go through this? That's just a natural question that you'll have. Why me, God? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to go through this painful experience? Why did you choose me? Look at them. They got it all figured out. Why me? Take some trouble off of my back and just put it in that court over there. So we as humans, naturally, we don't like trials. We don't like suffering and we don't like pain. Unless, obviously, we choose pain ourselves, like I did in this case. So if we want our faith to grow, it's usually what needs to happen. We need to go through some painful experiences and trials to actually have our faith muscle grow. Because faith is a muscle. It grows when it's tried. I remember talking to my coach, and after the workout, you know, first month was very hard, and then later on, I kept on doing it. And then when I finished the workout, my everything, especially like an hour after, everything hurts. Everything hurts. And he said multiple times, pain is good. Because if it hurts, that means that you're breaking your muscle, and it's going to grow. But I had to feed it with something. And most of you know what that is. It's protein. He said, after the workout, just go home, do a protein shake, and let that protein shake settle where the muscles have been broken, and let take some rest, and things are going to be good. So whenever there was pain present in my legs, oh, that was hard, leg workout, I did not realize how weak I was in my legs. Whether it's leg workout or arms or shoulders or whatever it is, my back, whenever I experienced pain, I thought to myself, this pain is good because it's going to produce strength. It's going to produce strength. So, as Christians, our faith needs to be proven, tested. It needs to be tested. And James is writing, obviously, to the believers, and the church at that time was going through hard times, trials, tribulations, all kinds of stuff. And he was writing to the church in general, even to us. I mean, the way he's talking about it, almost like, it's not like you're not going to go have trials and troubles. You will have trials. And Jesus actually even said that. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world, is what Jesus said. So when he's starting this, he's saying, consider it joy, as if like, you know what, when things like this come into your life, just consider it joy. It's almost like he's saying, enjoy it. When you're in a trial, when you're in a hard situation, enjoy it. How can a normal person enjoy suffering? Outside of God, definitely can't. Because he's not talking about, the joy that he's talking about is not just like what happens, it's not happiness, it's not the happiness comes out of what happens to us. And it's like, this is a deep-rooted joy. And he says, consider it, in another translation, he says, count it joy. Which means you have to take what's happening to you and you need to take it into the account. Take it into the account because of something, because you know something. So what I've realized is that this is actually the math equation that I was never good at math. I didn't know numbers. When it comes to numbers, I'm just not good, except when it comes to money. I'm good with money. I can count money, you know. Everybody can count money. You can know how much you have and all that kind of stuff, budget and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to math, I'm just not that, was never good at math. But this is almost like a math problem. We need to take all the things that are happening to us and count every situation, good and bad, joy, because something is going to be produced out of this. Count it all, he says, not just some things, not only good things, but every bad thing that happens as well, and every bad situation, you need to count it, put it, take it into the occasion, and put it together, because you know it's going to produce something, it's going to do something. So having faith in God does not mean that we will not face troubles of any kind. That does not mean that. And I think we can freely say that when James is writing this, you know what? Trials will come. He's writing it from that perspective, but consider it joy, because trials can be a great opportunity for joy. Trials can be a great opportunity for joy. Because we know something, and what do we know? We know that the end result is something better, and it's something that's coming. And what is that? And that is that God's plan for our pain is to strengthen us through it. That's God's plan for our pain. He wants to strengthen us through it. And I'm going to take some time and just quickly go through three points that I've taken out of this text. I can apply it for us today. And the first one is simple this. We never stop growing in our spiritual life. Never. There doesn't come a point in your life where you say, I am done. I know it all. I know everything about spirituality and I am good. The question is, where are you now and where do you want to be tomorrow or 5 years from now? If you don't know God, God knows and He wants you to be somewhere. And for us, it's time to catch up. It's time to grow up. It's time to get on with what God is doing because God has so many great things in store for us, so many plans for us, so many great things that He wants us to accomplish. But sometimes we stall and we are stuck back because we don't understand that there's so much more that He wants for us and He wants us to grow. And you can't tell me that you've been a Christian for a long time and you're still at the same level of faith that you were when you were a very new baby Christian. How are you growing? How are you advancing? How do we grow? We consider that our faith, in order for our faith to grow, it needs to be tested. It needs to be refined. Is it really strong? Can we have the assurance that our faith is strong, that we have and put our faith and trust in God? And the only way to really give answer to this is to be put in a situation and to see how you handle trial and test. That's the only way to put it. Because our faith becomes evident when we are in a tricky situation, when we are in a trial. Many people don't grow in a trial because they fall behind and they turn to the wrong things and decide to take the wrong turn. They make the wrong choices. They believe the lies. And it's only when we turn towards God that we experience this deep joy that James is talking about and this satisfaction of God in a trial because we know why we need to go through this. This is why we need to go through this. God is working and He is building something in you. He's building something in you. I would have never been able to be where I'm at today if I didn't come from a broken home or if I haven't come from different situations that I've experienced in a home. I would never be able to be here today. I would never be able to speak deliverance and freedom and have faith if I first haven't been delivered and freed and had faith when I needed to have faith back when I was going through difficult situations. And for you, it's the same thing today. You would never be able, standing there here today, things that you've been through, things that you've been tested through, and your faith has been through a lot, you would never be able to be here if it wasn't for the grace of God. And the best way to do life is to have our heart open and teachable, to learn and to grow, because that's what God wants from us. It's hard to grow when we're closed in and we think that we know it all. It's hard to grow when we know when we are living according to flesh and we're just like, you know what, I know it all. I don't need anybody to tell me anything. I know I'm good. But the question that we should always ask when we're facing trials and different situations in life and we're going through difficulties is, God, what is it that you are doing right now in my life? God, what are you trying to teach me right now through this situation? God, what is it, what muscle are you trying to grow through this? What faith muscle? Where do I need to grow? So we're always growing. We're always learning. Number two, endurance, patience is only built through periods of pain and recovery. Endurance, patience is only built through periods of pain and recovery. See, when I was building my muscle and doing this, I kept on hearing, come on, one more, come on. I heard counting, come on, 10. Nine, and I'm pushing through, and it's painful. And I just kept on hearing, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Just patience. Slowly, slowly. You'll get there. And I was testing in the beginning, like I mentioned, to my limits, and I couldn't do much. But now, I'm happy to say, 3 months later, just in this, where the journey that I have been through fitness, I'm able to do so much more because I have built so much endurance over the last 3 months and patience. And I think one of the most important aspects when building muscle is the second part of this, what I mentioned here, and that's rest and recovery. I was wondering, why couldn't I do so much in the past? I tried and I couldn't. Why couldn't I do so many things all at once? But you started small. It was one thing, led to another, led to another, led to another. And just like that in life, we have a small trial, we have a big trial, we have a bigger trial, and then we have the biggest trial of our life. And all these things are meant to build our faith. Then the Bible talks about this rest in the Lord that I think is so important. To take time, to trust, to rest when we're in a trial, to recover, take the time to recover. And there's many times when I was at the gym working out, and when I was just ready, I'm doing my sets, I'm doing all the things, and it's painful, and I'm ready to go jump in another set. He said, no, we're going to wait another 45 seconds, whatever. It was like a minute and a half recovery time in between, because I needed that recovery time so that I could lift and do more the next set. And I didn't realize that. I always heard about those things, but when you really actually do it yourself, you realize how important the recovery and rest is. You know, I was talking to one of the people from our congregation, Roland, a runner. We were playing some pickleball on Wednesday morning, and I think I hurt my hand a little more because I was playing against two of them. But I was talking to, he's a runner, and we have some runners in the church, I know a couple of you. I was talking about how important it is to have rest and recovery so that next time you go for a run, you're actually able to endure a longer period of time. And that really applies to our faith as well, how important it is for us to rest and recover when we're in a painful situation, to rest and just rest, be still, and trust in the Lord, and just stay patient. How important is that for us to really get to where God wants us to get? See, what trials do, they produce patience and they produce endurance, is what the Bible tells us. Our patience and endurance is built not in easy times, but in hard times. So when we're pushing through, we have to remember that something is being built here. Hebrews 6:12 says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. We inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. We need patience to undergird, secure, fasten our faith when we get weary, when we come to the point of giving up, when we come to the point where we say, I want to throw in a towel, I can't do this anymore, I don't know how this is going to end. We need that endurance to just that little endurance to just get over the line, to get us through. That's what patience and faith do. Faith and patience are like power twins. And when we let this patience have its full effect, we will be perfect. We'll be mature, complete, lacking nothing. And this reminds me of Psalm 23:1, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. When you arrive at the point of your life when you say, I lack nothing, you have learned to fully trust and rest in God's promises and His life, Christ's life in you. You've learned to rest in God, trust Him that He will carry you through anything that you're facing. That's what endurance, patience, and recovery do in our life. And the third thing that I want to close with this morning is blind spots and deficiencies. We all have them. God, couldn't I just be perfect? Couldn't you just create me to be perfect? Yes, God did create us to be perfect, but then who are we to blame? We got someone to blame. Adam and Eve, our great-grandparents, who have decided to go their own way, so we can blame them for us not being perfect. can we just not like not have any issues? Life would be so much easier if he or she had no issues. And if he or she was perfect. And I just love when people say, I'm gonna leave this church, I'm gonna go to the other church because there's the better people there. And I always say to those people, you know what? You go to that church over there, the moment you walk in through that door, it's gonna become imperfect. Because you're imperfect yourself and there's no perfect church. And just like that, we know that nobody's perfect and we have deficiencies and there's things, there's blind spots, there's things in our character we need to develop, we need to grow, that God wants to grow. And yes, it would be nice to have perfect kids and perfect families and perfect spouses, but that is just not the thing. The thing is, you see, character inconsistencies that we have in our life are there in order for us to mature and become spiritually mature. We have to put our character, our emotions, our will, all these things to test in order to mature. And the question always comes down to, do you really want to be mature? Do you want to be mature Christian? Do you want to grow in your character? Do you want to grow in your endurance? Do you want to know how to react right in a certain situation? Do you want to make the right decisions with the help of the Holy Spirit? And I believe that today, we live in a time today that has been the most important thing for us is to have mature Christians. There's been never bigger need than today for mature Christians. We're in a battle like never before, and the enemy of our soul is after us, is looking, he's got his eye on us, he's trying to trip us up, he's trying to destroy us, he's trying to deceive us, he's trying to lie to us. He wants us to just say yes to every pleasure of this life under the sun. He wants us to enjoy, be happy, not mind anything, just not mind the important things. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to act out in our feelings and the way our emotions lead. And he wants us to live by our emotions. He doesn't want us to live by the Spirit of God. He wants us to stay where we're at. He wants us to be incompetent, immature. He wants us to complain, to bicker, to criticize, to gossip, to slander our brothers and our spouses. He wants us to just do all these things and just stay in darkness. Walk in darkness, but we are the children of light. And we have the Holy Spirit, who is the light that's in us. The enemy also wants us to think that we are the smartest, that we know it all. We walk and talk in pride. He doesn't want us to see our blind spots. He doesn't want us to think that we have things that we need to work on. He wants us to be involved in other people's business rather than our own. Well, you need to change. You work on yourself. You need the you. He wants us to not look to us, not work on us, and not become stronger in our faith, in patience and endurance. He wants us to focus on everybody else, everything else, to try to fix the whole world around us except ourselves. But God's plan for us is to be perfectly mature Christians. Not that we'll ever reach perfection in this life, but he wants us to work towards that. And one of the ways to become mature is through trials, is through things that we experience in this life. So what are some of the areas that we need to improve upon in our life? Where do we need to grow? Where do we need more of God? What is the purpose that God has for us in this trial or in this thing that we're facing? And the biggest question is it actually worth it? What I'm experiencing right now, is it worth it? In the end, is it going to be worth it? And I'm here to tell you and encourage you, in the end, it's going to be worth it. Because God's plan for our pain is to strengthen us through it so that we can be mature Christians. I'm going to close with this verse from 1 Peter 4:19. And he says this, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. Entrust your lives to God who created you, for he will never fail you. God will never fail you. People will disappoint you. Circumstances, bosses, co-workers, your close ones, people will disappoint you, but God will never fail you. Just keep on doing what is right, which is having your eyes fixed on Christ. He wants to refine your faith. He wants to help you. He wants you to reach the spiritual maturity and completeness. That's where God wants us. God's goal for our life is to reach this maturity, to have this deep, unshakable faith that is not swayed by every kind of circumstance that we face. He wants us to trust Him, to trust His plan, to trust His purpose. He wants us to have this assurance, to have this faith, to know that God is using every single thing that's happening in our life for good. Romans 8:28. That we know that everything that happens to us, everything that we go through, God is going to use for good in one way or the other. And when everything seems like it's falling apart, God is still working. He's using every trial, every hardship, every tear to fulfill His purpose for us, even when we can't see it. And going back to the old days of photography, if you know anything about pictures before digitals and before cell phones became a thing, taking pictures, you know, you needed to take a picture with the big camera, had a film in it. And when you take a picture, the first thing that you get is the negative, right? And then you need to take that negative into a dark room, you need to shine some light on it, and then all of a sudden you see this picture become this beautiful, colorful picture that came out of this negative. And just like that, in our life, when we take the light of Christ and the light of His Spirit and we shine His love through the circumstances and trials that we're facing, He can actually turn the pain into beautiful things. He can turn and develop our character through it. He can make us stronger. He can use our pain for good. And He never wastes hurt or pain or suffering. God wants to refine our faith. He wants us to reach a level. And He wants us to develop also holy habits, which is basically staying in His Word daily, feeding on the right things, on the right food. You see, when I started this journey of fitness, I know that I'm not going to be able to achieve what I want to achieve if I'm still eating junk and I'm still eating garbage. It works hand in hand. They say, I don't know what the percentage is, 90% is what you eat. I think it's actually 99% of is what you eat, really. And for our spiritual life as well, at the end of the day, is what are we eating? What are we chewing? Are we eating the Word of God? Are we hungry for the Word of God? Are we in it? Are we developing that as a habit? For us to persevere, for us to endure, for us to develop this, we need to rest in God. We need to rest in His Word. We need to stay in it. We need to read it, not just to read it, but to actually get the strength that we need from it. And as we all stand this morning, and I just want to close in prayer, like I said in the beginning, when you break that muscle and you break it, you need to feed it protein. That's the only way it's going to become stronger and grow. And when we are breaking, when we're molding, just like potter, when God, look at the God as a potter, when He's molding us, we're going through different things in our life, you know, we're being molded to be strengthened. But we're not going to be strengthened if we do not remain in His Word and in His presence. So if you're going through a hard time this morning, I want to encourage you. You're going to need a lot of protein shakes, and that's the Word of God. Like I mentioned, when you do a workout, you're going through something tough, if that protein shake is not there, it doesn't come in. The muscle is not going to grow. So we need to always keep reminding ourselves the Word of God is what grows us. It's what matures us. And we need to be in it daily. So as some of the people that will be praying this morning, we have a few people assigned. We're just going to close a little different this morning. We're gonna open up a time for prayer, Pastor Ken. We're gonna open up time for prayer for everybody that needs prayer this morning. But I want to close it with this. I want to pray for, maybe this is your first time you're here. You're like, I don't know, I never heard anything about spiritual life before and the spirit. I understand all the science and the gym and building the muscle, but what does that mean for me really spiritually? I want to pray together. And if you want to commit your life to Christ this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, where you just fully open your heart and you say, God, here's my life. My life is in your hands. Whatever I'm going through right now, I don't understand, I don't know, but I want to believe that you are building something in me. So I'm going to pray a prayer. I would like all of you, actually, maybe just all of us can pray together. Just repeat after me. And then after I'm done the prayer, if you have a need, you're in a trial, you're in a testing, time of testing and trial, you need extra prayer, Pastor Ken and Jonathan will stand in the gap with you this morning, and I can even come forward. We want to pray together with you so that God will accomplish his purposes in your life, whatever that purpose is. And you will stay strong in your faith. So let us all pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. For it is life to our spirit. We commit our life to you. We commit our spirit to you. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My way is wrong and your way is better. And help me to live according to your word, your purposes, and your will. Give me a new life. Fill me with your spirit. Because I want to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name I pray.